Hour giving us the insight on the Browns' pathway to moving to Brook Park. And, of course, that came down today. Wasn't going to be today. And then Justin Bibb, the mayor of Cleveland, decided to have his press conference today at 2:30. And I think it was Chip, who's one of our great listeners of the station, former Ohio State guy. And he actually asked, like, because everybody's talking about, like, oh, Deshaun, right? I don't want Deshaun to get that stadium. And I think Chip made the best point, which is, of the guys currently on the roster, who's still going to be here in 2029? I think I got JOK. All right?
I would guess JOK, yeah.
Yeah, I think JOK
maybe
is a
DeJuan
safe
Jones
guess.
If he rebounds, he could be a future starting right tackle.
I don't know if he'll be in the NFL in 5 years at this rate.
He's falling that far.
Well, not for me, but you know. Well, no, that's the thing that I worry about for him that he doesn't realize is you can go from dude that locked down T.J. Watt and DeJuan Jones to being out of league in 2 years if you just hit the buffet one too many times.
DTR?
And I know he's injured. That was a cheap shot.
DTR still going to be here?
No. No. Why do people do that? That was a very judgy way of saying that. I'm sorry. No, so...
Jameis Winston still going to be here.
No. No. Jameis is going to have a TikTok channel of a million people.
Giving sermons
and
on Sundays.
Talking about the three games he played to secure the Browns the number one pick in 2025.
So, Deshaun probably won't be here, but I hate to break it to people. They restructure that thing one more time, his contract still might be here.
It's so funny about that with the Deshaun thing.
Because right now the voided years go through 2028, folks.
The two things that drove me crazy over the last 24 hours. The first one was everyone trying to find a way to get Deshaun's money off the books. Like, listen, if you don't want Deshaun playing for you anymore, I can't really defend it at this point. He's played so poorly. There's just no way to salvage this. There's no way to convince you that this is salvageable. The only way that's going to convince you is if he like shows up on Sunday and starts playing like a normal, like a decent NFL quarterback and doing it consistently. That being said, I don't want to spend assets getting out from under this contract.
No.
Like, here's how it goes. He plays the rest of the year, and then next year he's inactive like he was in Houston. And if he doesn't want that, then Deshaun can eat money if he wants to go play somewhere else and extend his career. Like, the Browns do have some leverage here. The contract does cut both ways.
I've talked about this this week. I talked about it on Tuesday night filling in for JP. The Browns at this point have invested money, as we know, the $230 million, at least the Haslam's money. They've invested time now because you're on year three of this experience and it's not really turning out for you. And they've also invested draft capital. And the dumbest possible thing that you could do to try to get out of the Deshaun Watson business at this point is to somehow do what I think it was Mike Sando that suggested this, attach a first-round pick to him to trade him somewhere else. I understand that it's dire straits. I understand that things are bad right now and nobody wants anything to do with this guy. They don't want him even coming close to having a chance to play in this new stadium. They want to you want to sweep the center of this era under the rug as quickly as possible and move forward with whatever has to happen. But whatever has to happen is not give up another draft pick to just get him out of here. That is the most asinine thing that could happen to this team, because then you're talking about wasting another draft pick. You don't cover up a problem that you don't cover up a mistake you made by making the mistake worse. Like, that's what that would be. Hey, we gave up three first round draft picks. What's one more? No. You've given up enough picks. You've done enough. To your point, they would just have to let him rot on this roster. And your way out of this, theoretically, Nick, is you suck so bad this year, or you suck bad enough that you're like in the top 10 in picks or just outside the top 10 in picks. And then you package all these picks that you're accumulating off the Amari Cooper trade or other potential trades to move up in the draft, and you draft a rookie, and then that becomes your beacon of hope. That becomes your, okay, yeah, Deshaun's still on this roster because we can't get out from the contract unless, like you said, he decides to give some money back and we'll trade him somewhere else and give him a new chance or a new opportunity. But he's going to be here. We understand we made a mistake, But here's this new young quarterback coming into the fray to take us to new heights and lead us into a new era where we have this new stadium waiting on the horizon. That's the way out of it. But no, in no way, shape, or form can you possibly cover up for this mistake by adding more draft capital onto it. Just admit that you got it wrong and do what you have to do to eat this thing and get out of it as quickly as you can.
Well, and there are some valid things masquerading as something different. Like the idea of, I don't want to pay him nothing. Does that mean he's going to be in the quarterback room? Do you really want him in the quarterback room with a new quarterback?
For Houston.
I think the idea is you don't want to poison the well in the new quarterback, or you don't want to do this. I'll be honest with you. It all masquerades as you just want to have the peace of mind. People who are like, give that away that first rounder so I don't have to. It's, you just don't want to think about Deshaun and Cleveland Browns ever again. That's all that
is. I get it.
Like, it's in it. I think it's an obsessive thing of any chance that he is drawing a paycheck in on the roster of the Cleveland Browns, there is even a minuscule chance of him coming back and being the quarterback in the future, and people don't want that. And I totally understand it. But the reality is, like, you have to make the best of this situation going forward, no matter whether that involves Deshaun. And again, that's Deshaun, what, 11 games left? Deshaun has,
11 games, yeah.
He's got 11 games to try and play his way into the future. So that's probably not likely. But, you know, this idea of, well, I just want him off the roster because I don't like even the idea, the threat. If there's a 1% chance that he might have to play, I don't want that.
But that's what I said. Couldn't you just treat it like Houston did the year that he was dealing with all the legal stuff and they had to, I mean,
but I
it
don't
sucked
because
you had to waste
safe enough.
You had, well, yeah, but he was basically like not even around.
Well, yeah, but that, remember, that was a mutual decision. In this case, you would be,
this could be mutual though. But you don't think if they draft a quarterback and they bench him that he's mutually going to want to be like, yeah, I want to get out of here. He knows that. I mean, he says he doesn't see what's going on social media, but we know he sees it.
I'm putting my so this is not me saying it, because you and I agree on the big picture thing, which is the only way that you're going to get out of this is if you learn your freaking lesson. There's no get out of jail free quick here. Unless you want to pay off another lawsuit. But there's no get out of jail free here for the Browns. Like, the reality is, you've done this to yourself. And like every single person has in our life, there are restrictions on how to get out of your big mistakes. And a lot of the time it's just sitting in it and sitting in your own filth until you are freed of it. That's what I'm saying is, I think fans, if you said to the average fan, especially the fans who didn't want him in the first place, especially the fans who have moral obligations or moral issues with him being traded for in the first place, I guarantee you there's a healthy amount of fans who, if it meant they never had to think of Deshaun again. And that, like, and outside of, it's like the Johnny Manziel thing. Remember that, a-hole? Like, there are fans who, if they had the nuclear codes, would do it. Like, because any chance that he is on the roster means that there's some scintilla of a chance that he'll play again, and they don't want that.
I understand what you're saying, and you're probably right that there are some fans who just want him gone. I just think that to me is like the, you know, Hail Mary thing that you would do to get rid of him off this roster. At this point, they have to, like you said, sit in their own filth in a way. Whatever that looks like, I do think like there is a route though where maybe that is what happens. You would draft a quarterback potentially. Tell Deshaun, Deshaun would understand what that means. Maybe he wants out, so mutually you decide, okay, you're not playing this year. We're gonna focus on other guys, and you're just kind of paying his contract, and he's doing whatever for the season. I guess you just have to kind of deal with that. Like I think that that's a possible thing that could happen, and I think that would appease both sides of this coin. Where it's like, on one hand, you admit the mistake if you're the Browns. On the other hand, the fans that don't really want him around the building, you could sort of force him to not be around the building by doing that. I do think there's a path towards that. But yeah, I can't possibly attach picks to this just to get him out of here. They have to live with the mistake until they can finally make it, until it finally makes sense to move on from him. But yeah, that to me is out of the question.
Well, and I think like it does put you in a position for a Browns fan side of things saying, well, okay, if he's going to be on the roster and I have to watch him for the rest of this year. I think where the Browns are in a really tough spot right now, and I'm talking about, like, I think this is going to impact them in the intermediate, in fans showing up, in fans you know, all the business ways that they care about. I there is a push and pull here where I wonder, the Browns seem really steadfast right now of, you know, Deshaun's our best chance to win. I don't think they believe that, but Deshaun's the guy we're paying this money, so we're going to get him playing every single Sunday. I do wonder if there's a point where they start to worry about future ticket sales, where all of a sudden they start to feel the financial pinch of what a disaster that this Deshaun thing has been. And the reality is, I think they have to stand firm. I know that's unpopular. It's not what I want. All right, what I want is to not be embarrassed by the face of my franchise anymore. And this has gotten to a point where, like, not only is it an embarrassment to have a guy suspended for all this with all these lawsuits, it's not just that. It's not just an embarrassment to see him maybe not handle any of this stuff the best way. It's an embarrassment because now he's playing so poorly, big picture-wise. There's still good moments, but where he's just playing, he's unplayable, but you have to play him. So, like, you can't even escape that. At the same point, then learn your lesson.
Yeah, but
like, it sucks. We have to bear the brunt of their bad decisions, but here we are.
Yeah, but it's, well, once they get to a point where they pull the plug, though, like, I don't think it matters after that. Like, there's no, at that point, you admit, and that's honestly, that's maybe the biggest reason why they don't, I agree with you. I don't think they believe that Deshaun actually gives them the best chance to win, but part of the reason they have to play that game right now is because, Nick, let's face it, man, like, the moment they make the decision to say, and they say, okay, that's it for Deshaun, we're going to sit him down, you know what that means. That is them admitting that they made the wrong choice. That is them admitting that they made a mistake by trading for him, giving him the contract, all these different things. And I mean, think about how that messes with Deshaun's psyche then. Guy that you brought in, the hired gun that you brought in, and he says all these things about, like, I got to keep working, and, you know, I trust Kevin and all that. Like, that all goes out the window the moment you bench him, because that's basically saying, like, yeah, we don't have faith in you anymore to be this guy. So you're right. Like, right now you got to live in it with him being the starter. Whatever happens from here, if at some point they do bench him, I think that's them sort of telling everybody, hey, we got this one wrong. And then however they navigate that moving forward, whether it's he's on the roster and he's just not around or whatever, you got to just live with that for a little bit until you can finally move past the mistake that this whole experience has been.
So we got to get more on this, including what Sunday means for Browns fans and what it can't mean. That's next on 92.3 The Fan.
I was the one who said, when we talked about guys who need to step up in the playoffs, who can be the difference makers? Said Kyle Manzardo. Just saying.
I don't remember that.
I did.
But what I do
roll
remember.
Roll the tape, Jax. Roll the tape.
What I do. There's no tape. Not when you say something. There is tape when I say something. It's a weird taping mechanism. It goes back to analog or digital or, you know, a high lo-fi, something like that. But I will say Manzardo the Gordo sounds pretty damn good now.
How about Manzardo went Yardo?
How about Manzardo the Gardo went Yardo? Let's build a bridge.
Teamwork
here.
Makes yeah. The dream work. How
let's
about
just
that?
Keep. We'll just Seuss this whole thing. We're just going to Dr. Seuss the hell out of it. How much rhyming can we get done in Wish Neiman's Demons Up? How much rhyming can we get done here? Now, we're talking about the Deshaun side of things. And again, like, I understand, it's a valid conversation. And it is a conversation that if this season plays out to its logical extent, I fully expect them to at least have the conversation. What would it be worth for us to get off this contract and to get Deshaun just out of the building? Because, guys, it's ugly now at 1-5. At some point, if they don't start winning, and I'm saying, like, winning, have like a little sustained winning streak, like, I don't know, the next three games, if they're losing one, or if they're losing, carry the two, five out of every six games, it's just going to get worse. I'm not talking about for us. We're there. I'm talking about in that locker room. For guys who I think, you know, if you think we had Super Bowl expectations, I think those guys had Super Bowl expectations. And this,
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned, and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Thing will turn on itself, and it might turn on Kevin. But I think what's interesting, and I don't think we talked about it enough, is what Sunday's game represents for the Cleveland Browns and for their fans. Because I don't know that, I really don't know what to expect from Nick Chubb on Sunday. I do think that Nick Chubb can kind of be a shot in the arm for this team, and that actually might be some kind of intangible boost that you get for having him back, because I think he is such a force of good and beloved both in and outside of Berea.
I did think it was funny that Kevin Stefanski this week said he dropped the line about Nick Chubb represents everything that this organization wants to be, like as the Cleveland Browns. And my head immediately went to like, so what does Deshaun Watson represent for this organization? If Nick Chubb is like the beacon of all good that's supposed to be the Cleveland Browns, I just find that interesting. But no, so here's the thing. Like, I think the last 2 weeks, you've seen some progress with the way the Browns run the football. Some of that, I think, was getting back to under center runs and more of Stefanski's system in terms of how they're running the football. And so I do think, I want to be clear, I don't think Nick Chubb steps in and all of a sudden we should be thinking the conversation we've had the last couple weeks of, well, can Nick Chubb be the thing that saves the season? I'm not taking it to that level. I don't think a running back on really any team is like a season savior anyway. But even Nick Chubb, like that's putting too much on Nick Chubb, a guy who's coming from a gruesome knee injury and all these different things. But I do think, like, given that we've seen some progress with the run game, if they make a point, and maybe this is the step that they take before taking Deshaun out of the offense completely, is, all right, we got to keep putting Deshaun out there. So instead of benching him, let's just give him less plays and less responsibility. Let's make this about Nick Chubb. Let's run the football a little bit more and get him more involved. And I do think he'll probably start this first game on some sort of pitch count where he's not getting like 20 carries or anything crazy. But maybe that's the thing that like you see a difference in the way the offense is going about things than we've maybe seen in recent weeks or from them this season. And it becomes less about what Deshaun is doing and more about like how can Deshaun complement some of the other things that we want to do. So I'm kind of interested to see that.
But real quick, now I was going to say not to cut you off, but to cut you off. I don't think it's even about football. Like I'm not saying it's immaterial what Nick Chubb, because if Nick Chubb shows up and he runs for 150 yards, that'd be great. You can't expect it. But you also can't discount it because it's Nick Chubb. I'm talking about like this organization and where they are with the Amari trade and with the...
You're saying like goodwill. Like Nick Chubb represents goodwill.
Just good vibes.
Yeah.
Like when you feel better, you do play better. When you feel better or when you have a shot in the arm, you do a better job. And listen, I don't know that's going to be enough because the problem with the Bengals is you got to try and keep pace with scoring with them. As bad as the Bengals defense is, I don't know that they're that bad. But I just think like just the idea of a Nick Chubb boost, I think Browns fans felt that boost when we got the open letter to the city of Cleveland earlier this week.
Yeah.
I think Kevin, had a little pep in his step talking about Nick Chubb. I don't think it's crazy to think there might be some just kind of energy boost and just, hey, there are actually good vibes in the building because I do think they're 1-5. Injuries are a part of it. Expectations are a part of it. Awful offense is part of it. I think a lot of this is just the manifestation of pressure and you are halfway down the hill of the avalanche and you've gone from a small pebble to now you're a half an avalanche rolling down a hill. I do think Nick Chubb just showing up and being on the... I think that might be able to kind of give you just a little push in the right direction. I don't know if that's going to be enough, but I do think that might be something. And it's not quantifiable. It's not analytically proven. But I just think that that might actually give you a little bit better chance to win, even though it still feels like the odds are pretty strong.
Well, and there's been guys talking about this throughout the locker room, just like what it means to have Nick Chubb back and you know how they feel his energy and his presence and just the impact that he has as a player on this team and what he means to this team as the heart and soul and what he means to the city, which frankly I think is what's played out with the letter he wrote, and or I guess partially wrote, because he did say that you get a lot of help from the Players Tribune with those. So that was funny. Well, here's the other part of this too, Nick, because you talk about just like having some good vibes around this team and the value of that and what that means. I brought this up the other night after the Amari Cooper trade went down. There is a list of a couple guys that I 100% would like not even consider trading by the deadline. Like, if this is the move now, if you trade Amari Cooper, you get a third round pick. If the thought process now is like, all right, maybe we lose to the Bengals this weekend, or maybe you beat the Bengals and then you lose to the Ravens and things look even bleaker, even though you're 2-6 and it's just not good. I think like the trade deadline approaches and you're thinking about, maybe somewhat of a fire sale or half a fire sale, and you're going to start trading some guys. The three guys that to me you absolutely cannot trade: A, Myles Garrett, because I understand why people brought that up and maybe the value you could get back for him. But unless you give me like five first-round picks, I'm not trading Myles Garrett, because we've seen too many times, Nick, in this league, teams can turn things around very, very quickly. Especially if you draft the right quarterback, you end up with the right quarterback. And I understand that's a weird, touchy subject right now. We don't know what that looks like moving forward. But the Browns could draft the next future quarterback and they could be okay. And when that happens, like, you need good players like a Myles Garrett to build around and be like a foundational piece. So I'm not giving up like Myles Garrett just because everything's this idea of like ripping it down to the studs is just stupid to me. And then the other two, and they all kind of fall in the same bucket too in terms of like vibes and good feelings: Joel Bitonio and Nick Chubb. Joel Bitonio has a chance to potentially finish this season as a career Brown and then retire right off into the sunset and probably get a gold jacket one day. Do not mess that up. And Nick Chubb is obviously the other one. Nick Chubb is like the one thing. Maybe it's unfair that he's getting trotted out there this week as like the poster child for like, hey, things are okay in Cleveland. We have this great player that everybody loves. But like, you need something like that for people to be excited about. If you trade those three guys and you give this fan base like no storylines, like, I'm sorry, man. Like, they're checking out. And like, that's not the way that you want this thing to go. It's not the precedent that you want to set for a team that's going to be in transition this offseason. So, and I think Myles Garrett falls into that bucket as well. These are all guys that we feel like get Cleveland, adored by the fans. Given how poorly the Deshaun Watson experience has been, Nick Chubb maybe headlines it, and you need guys like that to help fix the image. But all three of those guys, like, you need something good, something to feel good about, that distracts from the bad that's coming from the situation that you got yourself in with the quarterback right now.
So when it comes to Nick Chubb, I just can't possibly see how a running back his age is going to have any kind of trade value.
Yeah, it's probably true. Coming off the injury.
The Bitonio thing's interesting because it's kind of like Joel. It's kind of like Joe. At the end, I didn't want to trade Joe Thomas. I didn't. But if Joe had wanted to be gone, I felt such sadness for him.
That's
that,
fair.
What was that, 2016? Was that 15 or 16 at the deadline? Where Denver apparently...
It was 15, because I think that's the year that Denver won.
And then, of course, that was also Peyton Manning was trying to lure Joe Thomas there. Like, I would have been okay for Joe. And even listen, yeah, in the case of Joe, you would have gotten like a first-round pick for Joe. Wouldn't have wanted it. That's not why I'd do it, because I want it for Joe. So Joel's in the same boat for me. Joel, because listen, like, there are certain positions where the tax you pay for playing football for a team is heavier than other positions. And I just don't think we talk enough about what the offensive linemen go through. Yeah. So if Joel came to you and said, hey, if there's a chance to go win a Super Bowl, if Kansas City was trading for me, or anybody but Baltimore, or, you know, if somebody who is in a real position to win a Super Bowl, I wouldn't hate finishing my career there. That would be palatable for me.
I get that. And I do think what's also interesting about the Joe Thomas comparison is that we now know like the side of the story where he came from, where he basically told you, you know, the team approached him and said like, hey, do you want this? And he said no. And maybe Joe would feel differently. Maybe Joe would say yeah. Maybe Joe would say yes. But, you know, that was kind of the sign of the organization at a time where they needed good vibes too. Like, they needed somebody like that to help mask what was obviously terrible teams at the time. They didn't force a trade and say, we're definitely trading you. They asked him first. And I would have guessed they'd probably pay, like, do the same sort of thing with Joel, where it was like, you get to choose. We want you here. We want you to be part of this organization and be a lifelong Brown. But if you want to go, maybe, you know, we'll give you the option. If he said no, I'm guessing they would obviously stick with it and not force a trade, because I think that's, again, the same way they handled that with Joe.
Now, the Miles thing, I understand why JP brought it up yesterday with Ross Tucker and Albert Breer. And I'm not saying it's like the how do we get off Deshaun's contract thing. I think these are valid conversations. I just don't know I could ever respect a team that would look at how great Miles is and trade him, even for a godfather. Like, people are saying two first-rounders. Guys, if you trade him to Detroit for two first-rounders, they're going to be the 20th pick and the 23rd pick. You're not getting a Miles Garrett back in that.
No.
So even if Detroit came and did something, I mean, we're talking a Herschel Walker-level trade. No. Because Miles Garretts are unicorns. Like, you don't, it would be like in the prime of his career trading Joe Thomas. Not the end of his career. And, like, I understand, like, listen, there's a real arithmetic here of Miles is getting older. Miles has injury issues. You know, how long can Miles sustain this level of dominance? I don't care. If he turns into a guy who's now, he's only an 8-sack-a-year guy 3 years from now. I want it to be with the Cleveland Browns.
Same.
And so this idea, this concept, we all have become just so devout to, value, value, value. That is Wall Street gobbledygook. These Ivy League a-holes who come in and remove emotion of sports. I will not do that with Miles Garrett. There's no trade you can bring to me where I'm going to be cool. And if Miles wants out, I'm going to be honest with you, that doesn't give you an out either. You make it work. For the kids, we're the kids in this scenario. But so, like, I think it's a valid conversation. But the answer, all roads should lead to no. And it's wild how, I think this is a vocal minority. There are a certain amount of Browns fans going, well, yeah, you do it. No, you don't. There are guys you trade and guys you don't. And Miles is the guy you don't. I want to give you a chance to answer this on the other side here. 216-474-0092. Do you guys think Miles is untouchable? That's where I am. We'll see where Spencer is on 92.3 The Fan.